It's good to see all of you here this morning. Glad we have visitors with us. Looks like we have almost everybody back from traveling, from vacation, and from the sickness. We have quite a few that have been out because of sickness, and it's about passed through. Almost as good as the flu shot. Just get everybody that's sick together in one room, and we give it to each other, and we're done for the year. We've had all kinds of flu, virus-type things happen around here. I thought I heard someone said somebody had the swine flu, but it wasn't here. Nobody here. Somebody else. And so, pray for them. Well, it's a difficult time of the year in Florida. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 when we get started. We're so glad that all of you are here. We're thankful for visitors. We trust that you are having a wonderful time of the year. There was a headline in the paper. I'm trying to remember what department store it was, but their advertisement, I don't remember which one it was, but they had an advertisement there, and it said, "Make this a Christmas to remember. Charge everything." And I thought that wasn't a good advertisement for me to put out, but that's the mentality now. We'll charge it now and pay for it later. The ice skating was put off, and so we encourage you, if you would like to go next week, please sign up so we can realign that back up. We had some things that came up that took out two or three of the families, and so we had to postpone it to get the rate that we were getting. So if you'd like to go, it's next Saturday. We enjoy you to come and to take part of that. And don't forget, Friday night is play practice. That's the fun you're going to be having. So come enjoy play practice where you skip Discovery Club play practice and be a part of that. And then a lot of stuff going on, getting ready for this time of the year. We have a full calendar of events, and it's good, though, because school gets out for a couple of weeks, and so we get a lot of extra time to do stuff with the kids that we don't normally get to do. Then don't forget, coming up at the end of the month, we have the youth winter retreat, both at Venture of Faith Camp in Lake Park, Georgia, I think is the name of the place, and ages 12 to 19, and we've already sent off the registration and got it lined up. But if you are between the ages of 12 and 19 and would like to participate in that, please see me after church and say, "Pastor, I didn't get signed up, but I'd like to go." We can try to give some call. I won't make any promises. We'll try to give a call and see if there's a vacancy. Sometimes some of the other churches have somebody that drops out, sickness or whatever, and we'd like to get you on 12 to 19. And if you need help earning your way, please see me after church, and we've got some things lined up that you can participate in to get that handled there. That'd be a blessing. There was two young boys. They were going to visit their grandmother, spend the night with her, before Christmas, a couple of weeks before Christmas. As got time for bedtime, the boys gave their grandmother a kiss, their grandpa a kiss, and said goodnight, and they went in there, and the one boy said, "Well, let's go ahead and say our prayers," and they got down on their knees and began to, the one boy said, "I'll start, and then you'll go after me," and the little boy began to pray with fervor to the top of his lungs, and began to pray, "Oh God, I thank you for a new bicycle. I thank you for that new PlayStation, and Lord, for those video games that we're going to be getting." And the other one asked him, he said, "Listen, Johnny, God's not deaf. He can hear us. Why are you screaming?" He said, "God isn't, but my grandma, she can't hear too well." Sometimes you got to pray a little louder. You get what you want, not what you need. We're going to start a series today in the book of Luke. this series is going to be just like our Wednesday night series where we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're going to go all the way through the book of Luke. So, if you run a time clock only and want to go on a series like this, you know, I normally try to get us off by 12 so the bus can head out and get kids home. But there's going to be some days in a series like this that we might get done, say, in 15 minutes. And so what I want you to do, if you run a time clock on me, mark off how early I am before 12. So the days that I go past 12, you can balance them out, okay? Don't get mad at when I go past 12. You balance them out. And by the end of the series, if you'll keep a running clock on me, it'll usually end up being about 37, 35 minutes around there where we'll be done. And so the days I get done, don't say, well, Pastor didn't study. And then when I go past 12, they'll say, man, alive, he got loaded up this week. Just balancing out there, and we're going to have a good time. The reason we're starting this here studying Luke today is, Lord willing, we're going to get done, get to the portion where the birth of Christ takes place the Sunday before Christmas. And of course, we'll finish out the book of Luke. But the way I got it planned, I think I'll be able to, Lord willing, on the Sunday before Christmas, we'll get there to the birth of Christ. There, Luke chapter number 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 25. So if you'll just bear with me and follow along real good, we'll get started. Luke chapter number 1, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Verse 5. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and that and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed his priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incenses when he went into the temple of the Lord." Verse 10. "And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." Verse 16. "And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and they shall go before him in the spirit, the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this, that I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years? And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. Verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day these things be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. If you would with me on 2 Luke 1:32, let's read that together, Luke 1:32. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 32. And we'll kind of put this like a memory verse, and maybe next week I might ask some of y'all to stand up and just if you would, just say it out of memory. So let's say it together, all of us together. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32, here we go. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. One more time, please. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So we'll make that kind of like a memory verse. That's a pretty good verse to put in mind. And maybe next week we might ask someone to, two or three or four of y'all, maybe to stand up and say that. Be prepared if you would. It's a good verse. It's always good to hide the Word of God in the heart that we don't sin against God. But as we study this here, the book of Luke, we start out here in verses number 1 through 25. It's kind of an introductory type thing there. Luke, now, he was a physician. Luke was a doctor of sorts. Hold your place there as we're going to kind of get a good grasp of this. If you'll turn over to Colossians chapter 4, we'll lay down the foundation, then we'll start preaching a little bit. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 14. The Bible says there, Luke, the beloved physician. So there's clarification here. So I don't want y'all to think, well, Pastor just said he was a physician. No, the Bible says he was a physician. Luke, the beloved physician. Now, he was a missionary companion. He traveled with the Apostle Paul. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says there in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, he was a traveler with Paul. He was a physician. Not only was he a traveler and a physician, he was the writer also of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. He was the human writer. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says there, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and to teach. You remember back in Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Now, I don't know if his name was Luke Theophilus or Theophilus Luke. But this is Luke was the writer of both, and this here book was written between A.D. 63 and A.D. A.D. 68. If you go back and you look at the Gospels, you begin to study the Gospels, Matthew presents Christ as a king. He was king of the Jews. And then you have Mark, another writer, you know, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark presents him as a servant. And then John presents Christ as the Son of God. Now, as we get into Luke, Luke's going to present him as the son of man. But never forget, Luke did not forget his deity. Listen, Christ was 100% man, 100% God there. So don't forget that he did not forget his deity. Turn over to Luke chapter 1 and verse 32 where we first begin. Luke chapter number 1, verse 32, where we read together, and we're going to read a couple of three verses here so we can understand that, hey, Christ was God, and God, 100% man, 100% God. Verse 32 of chapter 1, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So Luke presents him as the Son of Man, but he is deity. He is God himself. Now, a key verse, you might want to hold your place and mark this in your Bible. A key verse in the book of Luke is Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10. This is probably the key verse of the whole book of Luke. If you'd kind of tie everything together and give us some glue to the organizational things that's written down here in the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, that's the whole key of Christ. He didn't come at this point to be the Lion of Judah. He came to be the Lamb of God. Now, his purpose at this point, and we can't miss this, was that he came for one purpose, and that purpose was to go to the cross of Calvary, to leave that manger, to be raised up in the sight of man and God, to wax strong in the Spirit, to heal the lame, to raise the dead, to point people to the Savior knowledge of Christ. And that was the key of Christ's early ministry, was to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you go back to Luke chapter number 1, Luke chapter number 1, you have the birth of John the Baptist foretold there in Luke chapter number 1, verses 1 through 25. And verses 1 through 4, you've kind of got a theme here. You have the declaration of those things most surely believed among us in verse 1. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 1, you see there, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Now, we have a statement of faith here in our church. It's the things that we take out of the Bible. It's a doctrinal statement. It's what we've laid out. We as a church have agreed. Everything in it comes out of the Bible. It's not my thoughts, it's not your thoughts, it is God's Word, it's God's teachings, it's God's commandments, and it's very important that we understand that we have a declaration. That declaration is the Bible, and it is the Bible that is going to help us in this day and age which we live in. It's the teachings of the Word of God. Not my opinions, not your opinions. But it's God's mind on every situation that passes through us and during our lifetime, and it's instruction to help us to live a better life here on this earth, to be a better servant to God Almighty. Luke says here, I have a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. For I surely hope that we can stand firm on the absoluteness of the Word of God. There is an attack on God's Word from the farthest corners of the world to our very next door neighbors sometime. You put out God's Word, for as the nativity scene may go, there's constant battling over a few lambs, over a little baby that's there, that's in the... Listen, that's just a scene. That's no different than a painting that took place. Jesus is not in that manger anymore. He's not there. It's just a picture of what took place. But they fight it left and right, don't they? I mean, it's constant battle. Well, you can't have it at the courthouse because that's public property. Dear friend, listen, we're all part of the public. Have they figured that out yet? When I'm in public, I'm part of the public. That means that if it's public property, it belongs just as much as to Christians as it does to somebody else. But we get all tied up in it. Get all messed up in it. Get all flustered with it. I'll tell you something, dear friend. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand throne of God, and his still declaration is this: I come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what's important. What a season we have, by the way. What a wonderful season. You know, all the world stops for a moment, for whatever reasons might be, to bring about this season of Christmas. Now, some fuss about it, some's angry about it. I read the other day about a lady. She was so mad at the Salvation Army. She even put in the amount of days that she had listened to it over her 7 years as a business owner, the bing, jing, 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 jing. You know the little bell they ring? They stand out there and people put money in it. She called the police on them. She told the police officers 7 years and counted the days. I don't know how many days. Is it the first or is it the day after Thanksgiving? They come out and they're standing out there and they have a bucket. And she counted the days and she said for 7 years, surely there's an ordinance that would prohibit this here bell jingling on the public streets. So the Salvation Army came up with this idea that they would give that person a silent bell. He'll stand there and he'll move his hand with no ding. That's where they want Christianity. They want us to stand there. They want us to make the motions. They want the money that comes in the pot. She wasn't fussing about the money. She used a ding bell, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, to get her point across. They would have us to be silenced. They tried to silence the Lord Jesus Christ even at birth. Did not hear it say, where is he at? When you find out, did not tell the wise men, when you find, come tell me, I want to come worship him. We know that didn't what happened. A whole bunch of babies were put to death. Whole bunches was put to death. There's a declaration you see there. Luke is the human writer. He had firsthand evidence. Look in verse 2. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. They had firsthand evidence. He was there. He understood everything that was going on. Though he is the human writer, there's no error found in here. So, Pastor, I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's a little bit different. And so there's no error. They're complementary to each other. The Bible is very plain that man had nothing to do with the actual verbiage, the actual thought. God, through man, wrote this down. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're always looking to try to discredit the Word of God and discredit. We have to be careful of that. We have an absolute authority. We have a correct account of what took place. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Keep going towards the end of the book. 2 Peter chapter number 1. In verse number 19, 2 Peter chapter number 1, And verse number 19. But help if I get to 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and the day star rise in your hearts. Verse 20, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So though they be a little different in their story, though they be a little bit a different angle, let me tell you something, dear friend. There is no contradictory part in the Scripture. It is all given by God. We have a God that is well capable of keeping things in order because He is a God of order. He said, I got this declaration. I want to bring it to you. There, and you surely believe that among us, and we were eyewitnesses, we ministered to the Scripture of the Word of God, it says there. In verse 4, look what it says. That thou mightest know the certainty of those things. Dear friend, God does not want us to be ignorant. God desires for you and I to know. Just like it says in 1 John chapter 5 over there, it says, these things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. God desires that we know and we have a good understanding of it. It is our job to get in the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us the Word of God that we might know and understand the mind of Christ. It takes a renewing of the mind. A lot of us have been taught a whole bunch of things about life that is just so contradictory to Scripture that it's not funny. Haley told me a joke yesterday, and I'll try to get it right. It's really hilarious. It's just how we think. There was a little girl. She came to her mom, and she said to her mom, Mom, I'm having a little bit of struggle of understanding some things. So she was getting that age when she was asking questions. She said, Mom, where did we come from? And she said, well, honey, it was like this. About 6,000-7,000 years ago, Adam, God was created everything, and He created Adam, and then created Eve, and they knew one another, and they had children, and they had children, and time went past, and so now we're here because of a natural process. So, oh, that's good. So she went about her way. A couple of days later, she was still concerned. You know, children constantly ask questions, constantly want to know. So she went to her dad and said, Dad, listen, Dad, where did we come from? I'm having a little struggle understanding this, and I really want to know this question. And Dad said, well, listen, honey, it's very simple. Some millions and millions of years ago, there were some apes, and they had some children, and some Their children apes had children apes, and time passed, and before long, here we are. So the little girl said, wow, how different can that be? And so she let time pass and pondered the two thoughts, and she came to Mom and said, Mom, I'm a little confused. I asked you where we came from, and you told me about 6,000-7,000 years ago, Adam was created, then we had children. I talked to Dad. Dad said, millions and millions of years ago, apes had children, and baby apes, and chimpanzees, and for long, here we are. And she said, I don't understand. I'm like, oh, that's very easy. Very easy. I'll help you out. This is what happened. I told you where my family came from. He told you where his family came from. Living under the same roof. You know the story in the New Testament, there's two laying in the bed, one taken, one left. Two working in the field, one taken, one left. There's two doing whatever, one taken, one left. How does that happen? Two people living under the same roof have two different thoughts. They've never come to the agreement that the Word of God is absolute. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? About all these thoughts. Well, was it a young girl or was it a virgin? Dear friend, there's a great difference between a young girl and a virgin. Amen.
Bible says it was a virgin. And that's absolute. That's what we based it on. But he said, these things you might know of a certainty. Our kids are not going to survive unless we give them an absolute Bible to stand upon. They can't have doubts and thoughts. They can't say, well, that's the preacher's idea. That's my son's going to. Oh, no, that's God's way of thinking, dear friend. That's what's important. He said, verse 4, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Where does it happen? It happens in our Sunday school classes, teacher. Instruction. You have to have some absolute beliefs and stand upon the commandments of God. Well, it can't happen. I think it can happen. We see here, there in verse number 6, it says there, and they were both righteous before God, talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, walking what? Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. There's two that can do it. There's many other examples throughout the Word of God. See, our problem is we begin to look at God's commandments as being grievous and heavy and heavy-handed. And God not being fair. I'm telling you, friend, if we got what was fair, we'd wake up in eternity in a place called hell. Fairness has nothing to do with it. Well, I deserve more than I'm getting. What you deserve has nothing to do with God. It all belongs to God. And what God desires to give each of His children is God's business. So it can happen. We have it. We have to determine in our hearts, in our minds, our life, to walk in the commandments of God in righteousness and blameless. So, Pastor, it's difficult. Sure, it's difficult when we walk in the flesh. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to rule and to reign in our hearts and our lives. Allow the fruit of the Spirit to come flowing out of our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. All this has to come out through God working in us and through us. So there's in the time of day of King Herod, it says there in verse 5, and there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest. All this took place, and it's historical. Why is God putting that there? Why did He tell us about a king? Because He wants us to know for certainty. So you can go back in Jewish history and you can find this here king named Herod. He wants you to know. He wants you, listen, you go to any record, vital records here in the United States of America, and you can find out where you came from, where you was born, what did they give you, a birth certificate. You know, I'll tell you, like last week I was at the nursing home, I was trying to make a point, and was talking to the dear saints there at the nursing home. I began to preach, and we were just going through the book in Psalms. I love going through Psalms. There was so much there that's so helpful and uplifting to them. And it was talking about it and said, well, see, I was born in Bell County, Texas. And one of them said, I was born in Canada. Another said, I was born in Tennessee. And boy, they began to tell me where they was born. How'd they know that? There's some range of close to 90 years old. It's recorded somewhere, right? It's recorded, bro. I hope this doesn't. No, I'll pass on that. I'm beginning to understand that some things are better left alone. I'll just keep on going. Stay with the Word of God. It says, no, sir, there's King Herod there, and he's in the midst of them. Then in verse 7 tells us they were childless. But it also says God's able, didn't it? It says in verse 7, it says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. They both were well stricken in years. Verse 8, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, the order of the course, you see a person, you see a man, John and Elizabeth, Zacharias and Elizabeth, you see them, and they're just full of faith. They're busy at the work of God. And you know what? They did not concern themselves with what they could not control, though they did talk to God about it. Because we know that, because Gabriel said to him, thy prayers have been heard. So they talked to God about this thing of a child. God's able, dear friend. There's nothing impossible with God. whatever the situation may be. You know, kids nowadays, you know, at 7 years old, they're already planning who they're going to marry. Right? Lord help, 7 years old, leave marriage alone. You've got plenty of time, you know, especially young boys, you've got plenty of time for marriage down the road. You need to learn how to work a little bit. Learn how to sweat. Get them toxins. I'm not talking about sweating your thumbs either. Some of them sweat them, play them games, and man, the whole thing, you need, they don't need underarm deodorant. You know what they need? Thumb deodorant. There's plenty of time for that. God's able if we just submit ourselves to Him. Leave God's business up to Him. And sometimes we try to interfere with God, don't we? It's not how we want it, when we want it, and what we need. What did Zacharias do? He was just busy. His lot was course of Abiah. That was a lot of that was one of the month when he'd go in and he had a certain job. Not every priest lit up the incense. You know what he could have said? I want to do showbread. I want to chop up some bread. I want to do incense. What I want to do is I want to do that. Well, I want to be the one that cleans the knife up after the sacrifice. No, I don't want to do that. You know what he did? He just was busy doing the thing, ministering to God. In so much that the folks got a little concerned, didn't they? Said, what are the folks doing? This is amazing to me. You have a man of faith. You have a lady of faith. And he did have some doubts because we know he became dumb. But his doubt did not interfere with God's performing His work, did it? That's okay. And he said, you don't want to believe me. You're going to be dumb. This is a sign to you. You're not going to be able to speak. It happened. John was born. God still was able. In our inabilities, God is still well able to work through us. We'll allow it. I have a God, dear friend, that desires to work through each and every one of us. I have a God, dear friend, that desires to work through our church mightily if we're just busy for Him. Well, there's nothing for me to do. Oh, there's plenty to do. Plenty. You don't have to be told. Listen, just look around and say, the Lord will lead you and guide you into something to do. Now, if you want to be told, there's plenty of lists that can be made. But if we'll be honest with us, we just get busy. So, well, that's with my life. What's so important? You know what the incense picture was? A picture of prayer. What were the people doing outside? They were praying. So he's going like them incenses. See, there's nothing that you can do that's too small for God. Every bit of it's important for God. Every bit of it is important. See, they're praying people. They're fearful. You got a fearful priest in verse 13. His fears are quiet. The angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard." Aren't you thankful that our prayers are heard? Aren't you thankful that you can get it? God sends a messenger down and says, "Hey, I've heard you. I've listened." Sometimes, though, it seems like we're praying, just in the air. It seems like it's getting nowhere. God's time is not the time of your prayer. Sometimes it comes down the road a little bit. What does the Bible say? They were well stricken in years. It took some time. It took some time. Don't give up on God. Because God hadn't given up on us. He's still working on us, still making us what He wants us to be, still molding us and trying to get us. And the angel said, "Hey, fear not. Your prayer's been heard. Hey, fear not. The promises of God are still yea and amen. They are absolute." No, I don't know what's up. The economy's going crazy. My job, they're cutting my hours, and I don't know if I'm at this or that. No more hours. I can't get a better job, and I don't know what to do anymore. Hey, fear not. God's still on His throne. God's still well able to care for His people, and God will minister to us in our time of need. Hey, He will not leave us alone because His Word says, "I'll never forsake thee or leave thee."
His fears was quiet. You know when we get a fears quiet? We get the word of God. We stand in awe. See, we need to understand God's processes. We get on our knees, we talk to God, we pray to God, say, God, I need your help. God speaks back through us through his word. And as he speaks through us through his word, he desires that we speak out for him. He speaks to us through his word and we share his word. It is the word of God, dear friend, that's going to help us, help our friends, help our church, help our community, help our nation. It is God and his word. Struck him with dumbness. Verses 23 through 25. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished. You know what would have done? Hey, whenever the angel smote him dumb, he couldn't talk. He beckoned with his hands. You know what most of us would have, myself included. You know what we'd have done? You know, I'd have packed up my tent, took my ball, and I'm going to play in another park. You know what Zacharias did? He kept on ministering. Couldn't speak. As soon as his day, he stayed until his job was accomplished. I mean, he just kept going. As soon as his days was accomplished, he departed, went to his house. Verse 24, his own house. That's a good one there. I just saw that. I just bypassed it. He departed to his own house. Let me tell you something, men. You got a house. Spend some time in it with your wife and kids. Your own house. Your kids and your wife need you. Spend some time with them. Then we move on now. 24, and after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. How in the world could God's promises be fulfilled if Zacharias didn't go to his own house? Sometimes we're at the wrong zip code, we're at the wrong address, and we wonder why God's not working things out. Sometimes we're just at the wrong place. You know, what did God tell Elijah? Elijah, go down to the brook Jericho. What if he decided to go to the River Jordan? There wasn't no raven bringing no meat to the River Jordan. It was bringing down to the brook. And sometimes you want the meat of God, dear friend. You got to get to the zip code, the address, where God desires for you to be, and let God work through the preaching and teaching of the Word so that you can get fed by God's Word. Don't always blame it on the preacher. Sometimes it's just you ain't where you need to be with God. If Zacharias needed a baby, he had to get to his own house. What the Word of God said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Let me tell you something. God raises up some special men and women to do some very, very special jobs for him. You know what John's job was? See, we know about John. John was a man who was eating wild honey and locusts, wearing a garment of you know, camel. Looked like a wild man. Just like a wild man. You know what his job was? To prepare and make straight the way of the Lord. What a job. I mean, what a job. What is your and my job? Our job is to prepare and make way, the straight, the path for sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a job. What a job. Let's stand to our feet. Whatever your job is, be faithful that it might sacrifice. I know it may not seem important to you, but dear friend, I don't care if it's running a vacuum, if it's cleaning the toilet, if it's mowing the grass, if it's trimming the hedge, if it's passing out gospel tracts. That should be all of us, everyone included, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Your job is important to God.